you very much.
Thank you.
Mariel, what drew you to this work with David in India?
It started from a book that David wrote, which is called In the Shadow of Crows. It's a nonfiction book that talks about his travels in India and him meeting a woman called Bindra, widow, mother of four children, who contracts leprosy and so is ostracized and has to find her way around to survive.
Read the book.
I did. And I fell in love with the characters. And I just wanted to meet these characters. I wanted to know more about who they are and their reality.
So you're going to India, and how are you going to help these people?
This time I'm looking into helping out some more, perhaps by dressing or even cleaning wounds, for instance. But there's also overseeing, because Sarva also oversees education for children that come from a leprosy background, from primary to university degree even. Some of these kids that would be ostracized. So we're going to go in some of these schools to find out how they're doing and what they're doing exactly.
David, ostracized is one word, isn't it? But it's considered a curse, isn't it, by people in India? And people are banished from their villages in some cases.
Totally banished, driven out, and they will never go back, even when they're cured. And the shocking thing is that the children of people who have been cured of leprosy are often denied state education. And so
Children of people cured?
Yes,
denied.
Even the grandchildren. It's astonishing. And so this is where we intervene to ensure that children from... We oversee three colonies, basically, at the moment. We hope to expand. But we ensure that every single child has an opportunity for either higher education or vocational training, depending on their capacity and their interest. As Mario said, one of the things we do is run daily wound clinics because these people get no medical intervention.
In your book, I think you describe a woman being booted out of the hospital as she tries to receive treatment.
Yes, this is a real problem. The prejudice, unfortunately, away from the cities runs very deeply, even in the medical fraternity. So one of the main things that we are now doing is training girls from these leprosy colonies as nurses. They do 3.5 years training. We have to put them into different states where nobody knows their background to ensure that they can get into the medical schools. And then we give them the full education plus midwifery training in order that they can then take over the work that we are doing.
Is there any basis to the fear that the child or grandchild of someone who had leprosy is going to have leprosy themselves and spread it to other people?
The disease is not hereditary. This is a great misconception. But the idea of it being a curse is very, very deep. The idea in the Orthodox Hindu thinking is that somebody who has leprosy has either killed a cow or killed a priest in a previous life. Unfortunately, there is a huge rise in very sort of deep South American Christianity now in India. And we have heard ourselves preachers teaching that leprosy is a sexually transmitted disease caused by incest and rape. It's utterly breathtaking that this can perpetuate in the 21st century.
One pill, Mario, makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The one pill actually stops the disease and then takes about 6 months to 2 years to actually cure from leprosy.
And can people ever recover truly from leprosy if their limbs have become malformed?
No. The way leprosy works is it settles in the peripheral nerves principally, and it kills the peripheral nerves. So the feet and the hands are anesthetized. So depending how far the disease has progressed, once that first pill is given, the disease stops dead, but the nerves will never be restored. So it is lifelong disablement results from leprosy.
We're speaking about India now, but it wasn't that long ago. It was part of our Canadian history. And David, there are still people in Canada who have this.
Yes. Well, the official figure is about 500 people are diagnosed today, have been diagnosed with leprosy. But of course, the history is relatively recent because the last leprosy colony didn't close until 1957, just here off the BC coast. And the last Lazaretto...
Darcy Island.
And the last Lazaretto didn't close in New Brunswick until 1965. So it's very recent history here in Canada.
In the three colonies?
Yes.
So how many people would you be working with directly?
Over 100 people in the colonies themselves, but we support about 90 children now in education, right from primary school up to university level.
And when you walk into one of these colonies, Mario, what's the level of poverty like? What conditions are people living in?
Extreme. And there's actually, though, when we were there in March, SARVA's overseeing these colonies to make sure that they've got proper housing, you know, because they live in hut. So when we talk about weatherproofing, or we talk even water, drinkable, decent water and sewage, which doesn't necessarily happen. So SARVA oversees that and tries to find the funding to help.
Yeah. It's very important to us also that our projects lead very quickly to self-sufficiency. Because over the years, I mean, I've been traveling in India for 18 years now and volunteered with various organizations and have seen how charitable intervention can sometimes end up being a sort of colonialization. So it's very important to us that we go in quickly, we have the greatest impact possible, and leave the people in charge of their own projects to give them independence very quickly.
So much work to be done, but congratulations on what you're doing so far. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.